Vamos a seguir bailando, para, vamos a seguir contentos, tará, y sigamos vacilando. Vamos a seguir en esto, porque un día de esto, pa, pa, pa.
From NPR and Futura Media, it's Latino USA. I'm Antonia Cerejido, in for María Hinojosa. Today, a celebration of the Latin roots of popular music in the United States. You've probably listened to Marvin Gaye's classic song, Got to Give It Up. But did you know that it's influenced by the sound of the Latin genre of cha-cha-cha? And that cha-cha-cha has been a big part of mainstream music in the U.S. for decades? From salsa to punk and jazz to hip-hop, Latino contributions to American pop music are present everywhere. These contributions are celebrated in a new book titled American Sabor, written by Marisol Berrios Miranda, Shannon Dudley, and Michelle Habel Payen. American Sabor began as an interactive music exhibit in 2007, and within a few years, it made its way to the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C. In 2017, the exhibit was transformed into a book. It's a colorful encyclopedia filled with facts and Latino music history. It's a guide to the artists, musical styles, and communities that have influenced American soundscapes. And it's a bilingual experience, with Spanish on the left pages and English on the right. One of the authors of American Sabor, Marisol Berrios Miranda, joins me in the studio now. Marisol, thank you so much for joining us on Latino USA.
Thank you so much for having me.
So when did you first fall in love with music?
I think I fell in love with music when I was in my mother's belly. Yeah, we grew up in a working class community, mm-hmm. where music is really important part of life. It's like food. If you don't have music, it's very hard to survive. My mom was a great dancer. So was my dad, all my uncles and aunts. And I had music always, all my life.
Do you remember a certain song that you saw your parents dance to while you were growing up?
Oh, there's so many because we dance all the time. Let me see if I can. Oh, yes. There's one from El Gran Combo, mm-hmm. and it's called Akangana. It goes, vamos a seguir bailando, para, vamos a seguir contentos, tará, y sigamos vacilando. Vamos a seguir en esto, porque un día esto, pa, 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 lo verás que va a llevar memoria atómica, para Gatán, a Cángana,
que nos va a limpiar. Vamos a seguir bailando, vamos a seguir contentos.
So before American Sabor was a book, it was actually a museum exhibit. What was the inspiration for the initial exhibit?
The basic idea was to recognize, to really put out there the amount of influence and creativity that Latinos have contributed to American popular music. And when I say American here, I'm referring to the U.S. popular music. The book spans from the 1940s after World War II to the present. So that's how we composed, organized the book. Then we took five cities that are New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, San Antonio, and Miami. So we've based it on those cities of great musical production.
Why don't we get into some of the specific music genres and songs that you chose? Let's talk about the cha-cha, which became this huge dance craze in the 1950s.
Cha-cha-cha, cha-cha-cha, tocan cha-cha-cha.
So what's the story behind the cha-cha?
This is when all the light bulbs in your head, when you're hearing all the different tunes that have cha-cha in it. For example, you know, dum pa da 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 pa pa da. Oye, ¿cómo va? Mi ritmo bueno pa' bailar. Mulata. Well, that's a cha-cha-cha. And that cha-cha-cha was borrowed from Tito Puente. Tito Puente is the original composer of Oye Como Va. And the only difference between his Oye Como Va and Santana's Oye Como Va is that Santana uses electric guitar. And then Tito Puente uses the flute.
Wow, that was a very good impression of the guitar and the flute.
Thank you. So we go from there to find out, okay, where's the cha-cha from? Well, the cha-cha comes from Cuba.
Mm.
And the cha-cha was first played with the orchestra of René Toussé from Cuba. But it turns out that also in Los Angeles, this African-American band that used to play blues also loved René Toussé. And they together came up with Louie Louie. We got yo. Cha-cha-cha. Louie Louie turns out to be a cha-cha-cha that was composed from African Americans and Chicanos, and then it turned out to be the theme song of Seattle. And then you continue listening and you start listening to Marvin Gaye. Or Lady Marmalade.
Lady Marmalade is a cha-cha song.
It's not that it's a cha-cha-cha, but it has the feel and the rhythm of the cha-cha-cha, because cha-cha-cha has very many elements like the weirdo cha-cha-cha-cha.
Hello, hey yo. You wanna
and it also go? Has the cowbell that goes poo, 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 that emphasis on the downbeat. All the way to Shania Twain. So you're Brad Pitt. That don't impress me much. Pop, 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 pop. Just like a cha-cha-cha. So cha-cha-cha is like a DNA in American popular music. But that won't keep me warm in the middle of the night.
That don't impress me much. Okay, so let's move on to another genre that you write about in your book, salsa, which is, of course, this creation between Latin America and the United States. What is salsa? How would you define it? And why was it so important to you to feature it in your book?
Well, you can say that salsa began as an umbrella that included several Afro-Caribbean genres, including the mambo, the cha-cha, the son de guaguancó. Escuche usted la esencia del guaguancó. And also, well, Afro-Puerto Rican genres like the bomba and the plena. Later on, jíbaro music from Puerto Rico when Willie Colongue came onto the scene. And so, as an umbrella, it really included many of these genres. Okay, is that clear? An umbrella that includes several genres. The other part of salsa as a genre itself is what developed with the arrangements and the way arrangements and composers used the instrumentation, especially the trombone, which became like a stamp of salsa music. You hear ba 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 da ba ba. There's no more complete genre in the history of the 20th century than salsa music. There's none.
Coming up on Latino USA, we continue our conversation about the role of Latin music in U.S. popular culture. Stay with us. No te vayas.
1965, a darkened street corner in Selma, Alabama, and a murder. A new podcast exposes the lies that kept this murder from being solved.
And explores memory, myth, and accountability for a crime at the heart of the civil rights movement. From NPR, White Lies. Listen and subscribe now.
Hey, we're back. I've been talking with ethnomusicologist Marisol Berrios Miranda about the Latin influence on popular music in the United States. She's one of the authors of the book American Sabor. You also write about the importance of the communities from where the music that you mentioned in the book comes from. So how important the South Bronx was in terms of the development of the salsa sound.
Have you heard of La Guagua Aérea? Well, La Guagua Aérea is the aerial bus. Is that the plane? Because between New York and Puerto Rico, there were like 10 flights a day during the large migration. So there's a lot of going back and forth between these two places. And I insist on this because people have the idea that salsa comes from New York, that it was developed in New York. But what we go to the communities where salsa, the musicians come from, is not only from New York. Santurce is crucial to the development of salsa, and so is Ponce, with that gave vocalists like Héctor Lavoe. And Cheo Feliciano.
Mi gato se está quejando.
And many other of the very influential salsa musicians. What's important about this book is that we go, for example, and take a big name like Tito Puente. And then we go into that community that nurtured Tito Puente to create this music because they were always supported by their community. And Selena, for example, is this huge star. But when you look deep into, you see that community that have nurtured Selena to become what she had become. So we really emphasize these communities that have helped the stars come to be.
So let's take Selena as an example. Like, how specifically did her community support her?
She was the most beautiful flower of that garden, of that community in Texas. And she was the one, the only one. And I feel like, you know, tearing because we lost her too early.
Yeah.
But she is the one that broke the border between Latinos in USA and Mexico. And so we take these figures like Selena to go deep, 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 deep into these beautiful stories of social movements, of social action. And you can see that in LA as well with a woman like Alicia Armendariz called Alice Bax. And she created this punk scene before punk was even popular.
So for this book, you looked back on a lot of music and you came up all the way to the present. What music is happening now that you think will fascinate people years to come?
Asa, that's another 10 years of studying. I think that the world is coming so close and there's access to so much sound.
Mm-hmm.
so much sound of all kinds, and people have the tools to create all kinds of incredible music. For one hand, the commercial, you know, the commercial bombardment of mediocre music is horrendous.
Oh my God, who's the bad mediocre music?
Well, you know, a lot of people like it, but I tell you honestly, there's this music now called trap.
Yeah.
Pásame la juca, que el coro ya está prendido, las mujeres andan sin marido.
It's not for you.
Is that the musically is not very interesting.
You don't think it's going to be the salsa?
No.
Okay. All right.
No.
We heard it here first.
There's not going to be nothing like salsa. But there, what's happening is the mixture of all these different things. What I wish is that people continue to be super creative. This is what I want to happen.
Yeah.
Is that people take an instrument in their hands in a community context and feel that they can create music rather than consume.
Well, Marisol, I hope our next conversation is like 10 years looking back and what we think about the legacy of trap music.
Oh, dear. Okay, Antonia.
But thank you so much for writing this book. It's really a pleasure. It's just as vibrant and fun as its cover. It's just like a breeze. And also, as a Latina, it just makes me really proud to hear all this music and feel connected to it. So thank you so much.
Okay, thank you so much, Antonia.
Muchísimas gracias a usted. Marisol Berrios Miranda is an ethnomusicologist and one of the authors of American Sabor, Latinos and Latinas in U.S. Popular Music. The other authors of the book are Shannon Dudley and Michelle Havel Payen. This episode was produced by Caroline Aguirre and Sayer Quevedo and edited by Marlon Bishop. The Latino USA team includes Miguel Macias, Maggie Freeling, and Genesia Moca. We're edited by Fernanda Camarena and Sofia Paliza Carr. Our engineers are Stephanie LeBeau and Julia Caruso. Our production manager is Natalia Fidelholz. Our intern is Lucas Southard. Our theme music was composed by Senia Rubinos. If you like the music you heard on this episode, stop by latinousa.org and check out our weekly Spotify playlist. I'm Antonia Cerejido, in for our host and executive producer, Maria Hinojosa. Join us again next time, and in the meantime, you can find us on social media. Adios!
Latino USA is made possible in part by the Annie E. Casey Foundation creates a brighter future for the nation's children by strengthening families, building greater economic opportunity, and transforming communities. Funding for Latino USA's coverage of A Culture of Health is made possible in part by a grant from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. And the Ford Foundation, working with visionaries on the front lines of social change worldwide.
Cerejido.
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 No, con J, perdón.
Oh, Cerejido.
No.
Cerejido.
No. Sí.
Cerejido. ¿Qué apellido más único?
I'm María Hinojosa. Next time on Latino USA. There were over 10 Latino musical acts at this year's Coachella Music Festival. Is this shift in representation a sign of community empowerment or consumer exploitation?
The ground for Spanish is opening, and maybe in 20 years, there's going to be Spanish singing rock bands.
That's next time on Latino USA.